And the great thing is about this is that we can edit anything that goes wrong.
Yes, perfect.
Okay. All right. So, Gorgeous Entrepreneurs on Radio Gorgeous, brought to you by Henpicked Wisdom of Women. Today I'm excited to meet a woman who's an author, speaker, and master life coach. Her blog, The Champagne Diet, has been featured in Glamour, Marie Claire, Cosmopolitan, and many others. Her stylish and original approach to self-help has attracted women all around the world to attend her workshops, read her books, and tune into her podcast, Style Your Mind. She lives in Brooklyn, New York, and today we're talking about her latest book, which is coming out today and called Girl Code, Unlocking the Secrets to Success, Sanity, and Happiness for the Female Entrepreneur. She is Cara Orwell-Lebia. And welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Cara.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
So how did Girl Code come about?
Oh, it's a long story. So going back to, I guess, maybe about 9 years, took you a little bit back on my journey. I was working full-time for MTV in a corporate position in digital advertising. And, you know, I had always dreamed to be a writer. And it was always my passion. I was always very creative. I had a little music magazine when I was young in my teens, and I took the job at MTV thinking that it was going to lead me on this path to write for MTV News. And I got sucked into this job that was great, and it was well-paying, and I was good at it, and I kept getting promoted, and it just kind of took over my life. And I found myself at a point where I was just not happy. I just wasn't passionate anymore. I was in a bad relationship. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was working 12 hours a day. They were sending a car for me at 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning in Brooklyn. I was coming home at 11 o'clock at night. It's just not good. And I knew something had to change in my life. And I actually was inspired by a glass of champagne, which is why my blog is called The Champagne Diet. And a good friend of mine, I was looking for a diet, something that I could do that I thought I was going to change by losing 15 pounds. I think like a lot of women do. And I started, you know, thinking of what diet I was going to go on because I thought that would make me feel better. And my friend said to me, stop dieting. Like, this is crazy. Like, you're on all these diets. It's just not working. Just be healthy. And I said, okay, well, what do you mean? Like, you know, how do I really didn't know how to be healthy at the time. And I didn't really see the connection between mind and body. And she kind of explained that to me. And I said, okay, this all sounds great. I can eat healthy food. I can take care of myself, but can I still drink? I think like most...
Big question, especially in Britain.
Yes. And New York, sister cities. And for me, you know, going home and unwinding with a glass of wine or taking clients out or just meeting friends, that is an important part of my life. And I didn't want to give that up. So she said, sure, you can just drink champagne. So I was like, okay, sign me up. And in the U.S., I mean, here in the U.K., champagne's everywhere. It's not a big deal. But in the U.S., it's definitely, it's not something that's normal. You know, it's usually something that we save for special occasions or you go into a restaurant, a bottle of champagne pops and everyone's head turns. And it's like this big, glamorous kind of occasion. It feels special. So I said, okay, I can do champagne. And we started calling it the champagne diet as a joke. And it sort of became this little thing. And I was sort of revamping my lifestyle and drinking champagne more often. And I felt different. I mean, who wouldn't feel great drinking champagne at night, you know? And I was eating healthy. And I wound up getting rid of that boyfriend that wasn't good for me. And I got promoted at work into a different role. And I started to look at champagne as a metaphor. And I thought, why do we in the U.S. save this for special occasions? Why is this something that's special for us? Why can't it just be part of your everyday? Like, why do we save those beautiful shoes just for dinner? Why do we save that dress, you know? And I started to think, well, I want to live a champagne life. And I kind of coined this term in my mind, and it stuck. So I started a blog because I felt like I had to write a book, and that was my goal. It was always to write a book. And I started the blog as a way to kind of tell my story. So we called it the Champagne Diet. And through the years, as I built the blog, I started connecting with women, and I would share my story on Twitter or wherever I was on social media. And women would write to me and say, you know, I read that story and it really resonated with me. Something in that story, you know, your honesty, your vulnerability, it was very raw. I felt like I connected with it. And I love that bond that I was sharing with the women. So I wound up becoming a certified life coach, because I didn't want to go back to school and get a PhD and become a therapist or anything like that. But I still wanted to help women change their lives. So I became a life coach, and I started writing, and I did a few books. And then Girl Code was
the
result.
Have you left work yet?
No, not at this point. Mm-hmm. In fact, I left in 2014, and that was the year that I wrote Girl Code. Girl Code came out in 2015 originally, and then has now been picked up by Penguin. So this is the re-release of it. And it really just came from my experiences of seeing that as a woman in business and a professional woman, whether I was at MTV or I was with my girlfriends or my family members who are female or in business for myself, that women are just better together. You know, I think we get such a bad rap for being jealous or being catty or walking in a room and sizing someone up. And I noticed there were two kinds of women out there. I'm sure you've seen this too. There's the women who are really kind of have the wall up. And then there's the women who say, oh my God, I love your outfit. Oh, you're so beautiful. You look great today. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be with that group of women, with the latter group. So that's really where Girl Code was born from, in a nutshell, kind of.
It's a very wonderful nutshell you've got there.
Thank you.
Now, the next thing is, who is it for? Who are your people?
So, you know, the subtitle is Unlocking the Secrets for Female Entrepreneurs. But it's really for women who work. So no matter what position you're in, whether you're in a corporate job or you're in a creative role or you have a business for yourself, it's really just about professional women who are navigating their way in the workforce and want to feel better, essentially.
Okay, tell us how we can feel better.
Well, I think the first step is really getting into a right mindset. So Girl Code, I think, really addresses something that's missing with business books. And it's understanding that until your mind is right, and until you believe that you can have everything you want and you can be successful, and until you believe that you can have those clients that you dream about and that connection with other women, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So really, I think, you know, there's so many tools out there for women who, you know, build a website like this, and your blog should look like this, and this is how to make a podcast. But without really setting yourself right mentally, none of that stuff is possible. So I think the first tip really is believing that you can have what you want and that anything's possible for you.
So how did you tell yourself that?
You know, I was raised in New York by a single mom, and my mom raised my brother and I on her own. And I remember specifically her telling me, and my mom is amazing. She's a super hard worker, put herself through college at 40, as a single mother, worked two jobs. And I remember specifically her telling me, if you want something, you have to get it for yourself. Like, I can only support you emotionally, but if you want things, you have to work for them. And it was such a simple statement, but now when I look back, I'm like, there's so much power in that statement. And I never expected anything to be handed to me. I always knew I had to work for my dreams, just like this book, self-publishing it at first. Like, if I'm not going to have help, I'm going to make it happen on my own. So I think from a really young age, I was taught that success is on me. And no one is going to give it to me. And it's not going to come in the form of a husband or a rich parent or, you know, a lucky break. It's really on me to make it happen. So I think that's really where it's just started in childhood.
Amazing, amazing. So how will it change my life, this book?
You know, I think it's a really healthy dose of inspiration and motivation. And I think they're two different things, right? Because we're inspired, we may see something happening for someone else and think, well, that's really great. You know, that looks amazing. But I think motivation is the tools behind it and learning how to apply these things to your life. So as a coach, one of the things that I do with my clients and I've done for myself is give you tools and exercises to not just read the chapter, but then actually put it into play in your own life. So throughout the book, there's little spaces to write and it's almost like a workbook.
Okay, tell us a few, two tips.
Two tips?
Yeah.
Choose collaboration over competition. So anytime that you see a woman out there that you think you immediately feel a little threatened by, like, she has it, you know, she's doing more than I am, or she's more beautiful, talented, or she's got more followers, all the things that make you insecure. Yeah. Reach out to her, you know, level the playing field. Don't make it, we create competition in our minds sometimes when it doesn't even need to be there. Send her an email, comment on her Twitter, on her Instagram, and say, I love what you're doing. I think when we level that playing field, we set ourselves up for success. We allow ourselves to realize that we're all the same. Someone just may have been doing it a little bit longer than you, or, you know, maybe she does have better hair than you. Maybe you've got a better butt than her. Like, we're all in this together. Everybody has their own set of unique talents. And I think when you realize, and this is really part two to this, when you tap into your own brilliance and when you realize that you have something really special that the next person doesn't have, no one's going to tell your story the way you're going to tell it. Even if both of us, you and I both have a radio show, or if we both have a book, we're still going to do it in a way that's different and we can complement each other.
So you believe everybody's got an original message?
I do. Yeah. I do. And even if your story is similar, you're going to tell it in a way that no one else is going to be able to tell it.
Really interesting. So tell us about Instagram, because even you're in shock about this. Tell us how many followers you've got.
So to date, I have 70,800 followers. And that really kind of happened over the past 2 years, really organically. And I think one of the things that I think has helped me is that I've always viewed social media as a way to connect with my readers. I've never viewed it as a way to make money or to get fame or exposure. It's really just been a way for me to have a direct connection with the people who read my work. And I you know, I think when I go on Instagram every day before I post anything, okay. every day, multiple times a day. I mean, I think this trip, I've been in London for a few days, so I've been maybe twice a day. But typically I'm posting five times a day on there. And my goal is to give you value. So if you come to my page, I want you to land on my Instagram page and feel good about yourself. I want you to feel empowered, inspired, motivated, or even entertained. You know, maybe it's just a beautiful glass of champagne that I'm posting. Maybe it sparks something in you and makes you feel good or pretty or whatever it may be. I think adding value is key, and I think people forget that with social media.
Is it only images, or do you write as well on Instagram?
I do both. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a blend between the two. I think I love writing, but I don't want to just be a quote machine. You know, I don't want to be one of those pages where you visit and it's just words. I want people to know that there's a woman behind it and there's a story behind it.
Now, what about the pressure of Instagram? Because now you've got over 70,000 followers. Do you feel differently about your image and the way you do things and what you say?
Sometimes I do, and I think more than pressure, I feel a responsibility, because I know there are a lot of young women who look at me, and you know, I've had girls email me who are 14 years old and say, I want a life like you. You know, I want to be able to go to Chanel and buy a purse, or I want to have a book. And I really want to stress to them that there's more to life than a pretty picture, and there's more to the story than buying a nice bag for yourself.
But your pictures are pretty, and you do make yourself look I mean, very beautiful. I mean, you Thank are you. Pretty, but you obviously make yourself even better. Is that a pressure on young people?
It is. And I try to really not. You know, one thing that I stopped doing was, so there's an app called Facetune that I think everyone knows about on Instagram. I stopped using that because I didn't want my...
Well, that makes you look better.
Well, it's smooth. You can use it to smooth lines and to smooth wrinkles and to smooth fine lines on your face. And I noticed everybody was using this app. And I was noticing in my own life that I would meet people in person and they didn't look like their Instagram. And I said to myself, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's spreading a good message. Maybe it makes the picture look pretty. And of course you can use a filter to maybe just brighten the photo. But I just don't believe in you know, I see girls like change the size of their lips on their Instagram pictures and add eyelashes and all this crazy stuff that goes on. Like, what's the point really at the end of the day? So, you know, just to give a little teaser for the next book that I'm working on, it's really about confidence and true confidence and loving the skin you're in, no matter what size you are, no matter what age you are. I think that that's such an important message.
Yeah, because you're not skinny. And I know New York particularly is, I'm not saying you're big or anything, but you're not skinny.
Yeah.
Like, you go to New York and size 12, well, that's a 10 in the States, is big. Yeah. That's what size I am.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. And I think for me, it's been so inspiring to see so many plus size women stepping out, and curvier girls like Ashley Graham, Hunter McGrady. You know, the fact that Ashley Graham is on the cover of Sports Illustrated to me is so amazing and so huge. And it's great that it's happening. But at the same time, there's a part of me that feels like it shouldn't even be a discussion. We shouldn't even take that into consideration. I think the more evolved that I become and the more that I grow spiritually and emotionally, I look at someone and I see their energy. I don't see their size. I don't see their face. I just see that they're happy and that they're luminous or they're not. So for me, I work harder, I think, on the inside now than I do on the outside. And I exercise and I eat well, but I also love to indulge myself. I love to go out and have a glass of champagne or eat a plate of chips or whatever, you know, and that makes me feel good. So it's about so much more than our looks. And I think until women understand that, we're going to be stuck in the same place for a long time.
So you believe in not denying yourself then, don't you?
Yes, I don't. And I've done it and I tried it. And I always wind up in the same place. And it's an unhappy place.
And you wind up getting an eating disorder, hating yourself. And it's a cycle, isn't it?
It is a cycle. And I think when you focus on other things and when you're happy, you don't eat as much. I've actually lost weight at this point in my life, I'm at a better place than I was before because I'm just doing other things and I'm fulfilled in other ways.
It's giving up dieting is the key, isn't it?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because then it stops being a fixation and then you think,
Yeah, it doesn't become an obsession anymore. Mm. You know, when it's an obsession, it's like, I want what I can't have. So you don't have it for a week and then you binge on a Saturday night.
Yes.
When you could just eat what you want in small amounts every day. It's such a simple concept, but it's hard to get it.
Exactly. So tell us more about your background and also tell us where you're at as a businesswoman now.
my background in terms of where I was before with my career.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned, I had been at MTV for years and I wound up leaving. I was building my coaching practice on the side and writing my books. And it was before Girl Code came out, but I was building my life coaching practice. So I had private clients and I was doing workshops and stuff like that.
And you were working.
And I was working a full-time job. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to a point in 2014 where I said, you know, I can't do both anymore. I've kind of hit my wall. I've hit my limit. And I was bringing in a decent amount of income. I mean, I was making six figures at MTV. I was a director level executive position, but I was still bringing in money on my coaching practice. And I said, until I leave, I can't, it's almost like an energy block. I can't go to the next level. So I quit. And
you obviously took a lower wage to quit, didn't you?
Actually, no, I didn't.
What?
So the first month that I came out of the gate when I left MTV, I made double what I made in my coaching. So it's definitely, now I'm making, I mean, way more than I was at MTV.
That's incredible.
So it's a testament to, I think, really trusting your gut. And I knew it was the right time. Like a year or two before that, it wasn't the right time for me. And I think I knew that too. But at the point that I left, I kind of really took a lot. I went to Japan. I was in Japan for 2 weeks and I took a lot of time to really reflect and just think to myself, like, is this really the right decision? Because we hear input from everyone, you know, when you're thinking of leaving a job, especially. You shouldn't do it. It's not the right time. You should have X amount of money in the bank. Mm-hmm. I knew in my gut it was the right time, and it's been good so far.
Now tell us about, you've got a new partner, haven't you, since then as well?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that my husband will be working with me full-time soon. He is really, really great at balancing me. So he's really great with like graphic design and video, and he's been helping me on the side. But we're at a point now where, thank God, you know, I'm doing well and my income is, you know, superseding his. So it's kind of the right time to bring him into the fold as a partner, and hopefully that will work and we'll just keep growing the brand.
It's really, really exciting. Now, tell us about New York, because obviously we're fascinated by it, because being English, like you're fascinated with London.
Right.
Just tell us about a typical day in your life. Yeah.
I love New York. So I've had a love-hate relationship with it. I'm from there. So I'm born and raised in New York, and I kind of traveled a little bit around Europe and Asia, and even just around the country. And I always thought, I don't know, like, I think maybe I'd like to live somewhere else. But there's something about New York that I think is really magical. There's an energy there. And I think have you been?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You feel it, right? There's just something there. There's a buzz. Yeah. And I mean, even the fact that like restaurants and bars are open until 4 o'clock in the morning, there's always someone out. There's always something to do. So I spend a lot of my time working from home. I live in Brooklyn. So I'm a little bit outside of the city. I'm probably...
Do clients come to you then in Brooklyn?
Well, I'm not life coaching anymore, actually.
Oh, you're not even life coaching?
No, I haven't been life coaching for over a year. I took a break really to just focus on my content. So to focus on the books and the podcast. Mm. Unfortunately, that's been, you know, lucrative and it's been successful. So I haven't had to coach. But I do Skype calls. I did Skype calls and phone calls for my coaching practice. Mm. So that was nice. So I work from home, but I get out as much as I can. I go to SoulCycle, which I love. That's my...
What's that?
It's like
a gym?
It's like Boom Cycle here. I think you guys have. It's spin class, but it's to the beat of the music.
Oh my God, you're really fit to do that.
I love it. It's so much fun. And that's, I think SoulCycle is great because it's a super intense workout, but it's a great example of you don't have to be a size 2 to be able to work out and be healthy. You know, that's something else that I think I really try to kind of drive home to women, because people will say, oh, I can't do that. Like, yes. I'm not fit enough.
Yeah.
But you
and
can.
And also they're embarrassed to walk into a class.
They are.
And not be perfect. So how are you ever going to get fit unless you break that barrier?
Right, exactly. And when I first walked into SoulCycle, I had on a long sleeve shirt and I just felt like, oh, staring at me. But the more I did it, the more I built myself up. And, you know, now I sit in the front row and I ride proudly and I feel good about myself.
You're up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but it's great. So I do that to break up the day. And it's a good way for me to build a routine in, because like I said, I work from home. So it's, I mean, if you left me in front of a computer, I'd work all day. Right. I mean, from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. I love
chatting to people and creating content.
Yeah, creating content is a big one. Chatting with my, I have a group on Facebook, like a private group for the women that read my book. So they come in there and I spend time with them and answering emails. And at this point, I'm a one-woman show. So it's all on me to really review contracts and do everything. So, you know, I definitely build a day or two where I'm just out and about and kind of in the city. And I meet friends for drinks and dinner and do that sort of thing.
Oh, sounds wonderful. So what does your mother think about you?
She's very proud, but she's a little scared all the time, I think, because my poor mom. I always put her, I've always been a risk taker, and my mom has really always played it safe because she's had to. So, you know, my dad was out of the picture, and she was like, get a good job and stay. And when I was leaving MTV, I remember she was really, really nervous because I had health insurance and I had a 401k and I had all these things that look great on paper. But I sat her down and she had just retired actually from her job. She was there for almost 30 years.
What was she?
She was an accountant for a city.
Sensible.
Very sensible. Yeah. She had a huge team under her and really worked really hard to be able to retire. And when she left, I think she understood where I was coming from because she saw the other side of it. And she was home and had freedom. And she's like, I get it, you know. So I, my mom is super proud of me, but I think she's always, she trusts me now. She's finally gotten to the point where she knows I'm not going to make a crazy decision, but I've always been like the kind of kid who's like, Mom, I'm going here. I'm just going to do this. And she'd be like, oh my God, what is she doing?
Maybe she's the voice of reason, which is quite good to have
as well.
She
is. You know? She is for sure. She's great. She's so supportive. She's amazing. I love her.
Wonderful. So what, if I read the book, what should I get from it?
Oh, there's a lot to get from it, but I think...
The overriding.
I think the overriding theme is that women are better together. And that's what I really try to just drill into my message all the time. You know, there's only so much you can do on your own, and you need to reach out and ask for help, and you are valuable. You know, a lot of us think, well, I don't know if I can reach out to that person because she's better than me or she's, you know, more successful than
Especially
me.
Especially now with Instagram and things. Right. You see people and it scares you because you think, I'm not good enough.
Yep. And I think one mantra that I created for myself and I share with women all the time is real change happens when you stop looking around and you start looking within.
That's wonderful. So Girl Code, Unlocking the Secrets of Success, Sanity and Happiness for the Female Entrepreneur, it's quite a mouthful, darling, by Cara Orwell Labor is out today, and it's Penguin.
Yes, portfolio on Penguin Random House.
And what's your Instagram handle?
It's at the Champagne Diet.
I can't wait to have a glass of champagne. You've got me really thirsty. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me.
And for more information, go to hempic.net. And thank you so much for listening to Radio Gorgeous. For more fabulous women, always go to radiogorgeous.com.